could not come to the Living Name Retreat Part 2, 3 in New Vrindavan. I also was a little sad that I could not come to America this year. But then Anuradha and Jai Krishna and myself thought about at least giving you something, some practical experience into the retreat, part three, and also helping you in this time to enter the space which the Holy Name provides. It's very important for me to say that this space which the Holy Name provides is something at once very soothing. It is a space where we have company with Krishna. And finally, the space which the Holy Name provides is also something where the so much desire transformation takes place. It does something with you. It's effective. So there is not, it's not just soothing, it's not just associating with Krishna. It absolutely changes and purifies our heart in many ways. And I do hope that in the 2 hours which we have together, we can all make some experience of this. The way we conduct this retreat is that I will first sing with you Jai Radha Madhava and open the sacred space. Then I intend to give a lecture with a very, I would say, important discovery for all of you. And then, after the lecture, we will have a few questions and answers. And then you all will require a 5-minute pause. During this time we will sing. And then I will do something very practical. We will meditate, we will breathe, and more than anything, we will chant and make a deep experience. There are a few things I request you to do. What I request you is that during the time you try to be fully there. Do you jump off the surgeon table when the operation is going on? No. Please participate fully in the program, because it's built up so that it can really give you your own breakthrough experience. Then try to free yourself from distractions. The other time I watched a lecture which I really appreciated, but then somehow there was a technical failure. We could see on the internet, broadly in the view of everyone, one of the participants who was just eating, I think, 5 bags of chips. But the way she ate, she was so absorbed that you could see there was no room for the lecture. So try to participate fully. Nothing against chips, but the idea is full focus would be very good where you're not distracted. Then I would like to request you to just focus in your heart for a moment as we sing, and make your sankalpa. Those who have been to previous retreats know that this is an inner orientation, a declaration of intent. I usually have an exercise in the big retreats where I want to help the participants to dig a little bit deeper so that they find out what is their intention behind the surface, that is just to have an interesting lecture. See, when we deal with the holy name, we are dealing with something much more than a name. We deal with a relationship, a forgotten relationship, a relationship which now, by some good fortune, becomes a little bit known since we are reading Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and other books or have met the devotees. But still, the relationship is maybe not forgotten as it was in the very beginning when we started our spiritual life. This relationship to Krishna is something which we aspire now for. And whenever we have a holy name retreat, I cannot fail to tell my audience, you are now sitting here to repair a broken relationship. And that's something which requires our attention and full presence. So we will sing just very briefly Jai Radha Madhava and the Maha Mantra. And during this time, I request you to dig a little bit into your heart, to find your own intention, your own, I would say, glowing yes, if you so want, your conviction, your desire to connect with Krishna through the holy name as we go through the retreat. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Please. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadari. Yashoda Nandana Praja Janarandana. Yashoda Nandana Praja Janarandana. Yashoda Nandana Praja Janarandana. Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Please sing Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. A little louder, please. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare My dear devotees and my dear friends and also my dear skeptics, I too know that it's much easier to sit together in the Yajnashala in New Vrindavan and just feel the vibration of all these wonderful devotees singing along with us. And I know how much this carries us. But when there is not an opportunity, when we have to sit in our own rooms, we have to make up. We have to maybe go in our heart or our space, inner space, and just sing and feel that now I'm investing in my relation with Krishna. So please, don't be shy. Get out of the box and sing. And I need to hear you. Everyone, please sing. Now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. But you can do a little bit more better. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Everybody, please. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare Prabhupadat, Prabhupadat, Srila Prabhupadat, Prabhupadat, Jaya, Prabhupadat, Jaya, Prabhupadat, Srila Prabhupadat. Jaya Radha Vrindavan Chandra Radha Vrindavan Chandra Si Radhe Radha Vrindavan Chandra Radha Vrindavan Chandra Si Radhe Gaura Premanandi Hari 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 Bo. Thank you very much. Greatly appreciate this time together which we have. We will now have a little lecture, small, followed by a question and answer session, also small. Then we make a short break, and afterwards we go into a more lengthy but extremely experience-oriented workshop together. Let me just state to you something from the oldest reference on the importance of chanting the holy name as it is found in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It comes from the Kali Shantara Upanishad. Here we find that Narada Muni approaches the creator of the universe, Brahma. Narada Muni is clearly worried. He sees the evils of the Kali Yuga in a, let us say, mystical vision approaching his time. This is before Kali Yuga. And he is worried for the people in this age, at this time. He sees the anxieties. He sees the insecurities. He sees diseases spreading. He sees people being very unfortunate and unhappy and distracted and so on. And he asked the creator of the universe, Brahma, O great soul, please tell me, how can living beings born in troublesome Kali Yuga be freed from the bad influence? And without hesitation, Brahma immediately gives the answer by chanting the names of the original person. In Sanskrit, he gives the name Adi Purusha. We all know this. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. It's the hymn of Lord Brahma where he says, I offer my obeisances to Govinda, Adi Purusha, the original person. So here, where Narada Muni, his beloved son, greatest saint, approaches him for a solution to the evils of the Kali Yuga, Brahma remains consistent to him. He said, by chanting the names of the Adi Purusham, the original person, the evils of the Kali Yuga can be overcome. He must have in mind that there are evils inside the heart, inside, you know, disturbances, mental anxieties and so on, but there must be also, but there are, will be sorry, there will be also evils outside in the atmosphere. So then Narada Muni is curious. You have said Adipurusham. We should chant his name, the name of the original person. But which name, please? Which particular names? And then Brahma answers, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti Shodashakam Nam Nam, Kali Kalma Shanashanam, Nata Parata Yopaya, Sarva Videshu Drishyate. He said, chant the holy names of the Lord, particularly Hare Krishna, and he gives the whole mantra. This collection of 16 names is the only destroyer of the evils and sins of Kali Yuga. And then to just put an exclamation mark after this claim, he says, and no other remedy can be found in any part of the Vedic literature. And then he says, when one chants the illusory coverings that cover the soul are automatically taken away. And at that time, when the coverings are removed, Lord Krishna fully manifests before the living entity, just like the rays of the sun fully manifest before someone upon the removal of clouds. So he says, when the clouds, the layers that cover the soul are removed, then immediately Krishna is manifest, just like when the clouds in the sky are blown away by a fresh breeze, the sun can be seen shining brightly from above. So, in our little attempt here to be together on the internet, we wish to experience this today. In the remaining time, we want to see that our coverings, our anxieties are removed, and we can experience Krishna a little better. Let me, however, first address a little question. The question is something which I have personally, let me say, engaged with. I didn't want to say struggled with a lot. How can such a name, how can a name, okay, a name of God, but how can the name can have so much power, and how do I unleash the power or experience it? My dear devotees, my dear friends, my dear listeners, when I came to spiritual life, I came only to have a genuine spiritual experience. That was first and foremost in my mind. I didn't come because I looked for company. No, I wanted to avoid all kinds of company. I was a man who believed in silence and peace, as a prerequisite for spiritual realization. So I wanted to make an experience, and therefore became a monk with many other monks. As I was about 20 years into my practice, I looked into my heart and I could see there was still a gap between what I now believed was my spiritual path and what my actual experience or realization of the goals like God realization and self-realization were. There was a gap, and I was not satisfied, and I was not willing to accept this. So I made a research. I went to many exalted people whom I knew, God brothers, fellow monks, and finally I met upon a very old person in age. He told me that Krishna has come in this age of Kali in the form of his holy name. And if you learn to cultivate that name properly, the practice becomes something which is alive in you, then you will actually experience Krishna. And he gave an example. On a cloudy day, you first experience the brightness of the sun rays, and by that, you know, oh yeah, it's bright outside, there must be, the sun must have arisen. In the same way, you will first actually experience some auspicious symptoms in your mind. You will be content, miseries will go away in your life. Finally, one day, when all the clouds are removed, you will have the full exposure to the divine sun, Krishna. He was, of course, speaking about Namabhasa chanting and Shuddhanam chanting. So I took that to heart, and since that time I'm investing my energy into chanting as absorbed as possible, as focused as possible, and also to serve people by giving these holy name retreats and kirtan events and japa events all over. But I had to find out, how does the name have some... I must say, I'm very satisfied in this Living Name Seminar Part 3 to give the essential key understanding, which I hope will spark some new enthusiasm in your hearts, as it did for me when I made this discovery. The holy name has an inherent power which is given there by Krishna himself. This inherent power is called Vastu Shakti. Vastu Shakti means a power that is independent of our intelligence to comprehend it. I would like to give an example. Time moves independently from anyone. I have here a little time instrument, and I must notice it is moving on. And we are already quite much into our retreat. Another example is fire, for an inherent potency. You may not, I mean, a grown-up person believes in it, but a child may not understand the power of fire and touch it and it will burn. So the holy name has also Vastu Shakti. It is not dependent on you or me or anyone to understand it. The Shakti will work irregardless of whether you understand or not understand. It is powerful on its own. It's powerful despite you. and so on. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Bhajan Rahasya, quotes a verse from Skanda Purana. That verse is also quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas, in the 11th Vilas, or chapter, verses 398 to 399. It's two verses actually, and I would like to chant this verse to you, because I feel it's here where the essence of what I want to say in my lecture can be found. Dana vrata tapastirta Yatradinam chayastuta Shaktayo deva mahatam sarva papa hara shubaha Rajasuya vangs madenam yanas yat yat mavastunaha Akrishya harina sarva Stapita Sveshunamasu. This verse describes something. That Krishna, it will describe, has personally come and taken all the power and potencies which you can find in activities like giving charity, fasting, austerities, pilgrimage, and so on. He has taken all of this and placed it in the holy name. Here's the verse in its translation for you. Auspicious activities like charity, fasting, austerities, pilgrimage, and so on, are filled with potencies invested in them by the gods and saints, and are thus capable of destroying all previous sins. The Supreme Lord has gathered up all those potencies, as well as those found in sacrificial performances like Ashwamedha and Rajasuya Yagyas. And the spiritual element which you find in the culture of knowledge. He has taken up all these potencies and placed them in his own holy names. Wonderful! You may not feel, for instance, like fasting. I think from time to time we feel, oh, it's good if I fast. But in general, not. But if you fast, there will be an effect. You will be more slim. You will be, after some time, more energetic when all the toxins are removed. Or you may not feel that you should give a charity to a worthy cause. But if you do it, you feel very good. Or you may not feel you want to go on pilgrimage, but if you visit a place like Vrindavan, or also the counterpart in America, New Vrindavan, and you just stay in the holy dham, in the holy place, you do feel something. You feel more light, you feel your karma is taken away from you, and you feel also some attraction to Krishna. Rupa Goswami makes it very clear. You feel the Taraka Shakti, that which liberates you from your stuff, that which is an obstacle for you, and you feel the Paraka Shakti, that which attracts you to Krishna. You begin to think about your life in relationship to Krishna. So all these activities and more have an effect. Or when you read the Bhagavatam, your consciousness gets uplifted, you feel the effect. And now Krishna, seeing that the people in this age need something special, some special concession, has taken all these effects, all these powerful results, all these powerful impulses, so to say, which work, has gathered them up, put them in a basket if you so want. He has gathered them up and he has placed them in the holy name. And if you learn to chant the holy name, you will feel the power. Now here I want to say something very, very, very important. In the very beginning, when we start our spiritual life, it is all right to somehow or other chant, and some divine compensation will work. But as we go further into the practice, we need to practice with the certain guidelines which are given by our sampradaya. There's this verse which I think you all know, that mantras which are not given in sampradaya have not a great effect. The chanting of the holy name or the holy name is not an ordinary Vedic mantra, but still, when you don't practice it under guidance, it doesn't have the effect. And the Padma Purana, Jiva Goswami, and our acharyas, various acharyas, have described that you must chant it with avoiding 10 aparadhas. You must. There are 10 rules for you, and they all can be summarized in one simple thing: you must chant with absorption. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written this work, Harinam Chintamani. And he says in this work that all these obstacles which we might experience and which keep us away from realizing the effect come from one thing only. To all our difficulties, they grow out of one root alone. It's inattention. If you can work on that and learn to chant with absorption, that's the title of the Living Name book, A Guide to Chanting with Absorption. I think some of you have seen this book. That's the whole point. We have to learn to chant with absorption in order to reap the fruits. As I said, in the beginning, you can chant like Ajamil. and the holy name will do something wonderful for you. But it is expected that you become serious and you learn how to absorb yourself in the practice. What is important is that you avoid what keeps you from absorption. What keeps us from absorption? It is a knot in the heart. Hridaya Grantis, the Bhagavatam says. It is a knot which binds us to illusion. It's the knot of false identification, When we have a wrong identification, we have a wrong life. If someone thinks he is Napoleon, he will try to get himself a blue coat, get a sabre, I think it's called, a sword, and walk around on this in the street and be depressed because no one acknowledges he is Napoleon and puts him in the locks him away after some time. So if you base your life on a wrong identification, everything is wrong. When self is lost, when the self is lost, everything is lost. Now this Hridaya Granthis binds us in three ways. The yoga scriptures tell there is the Brahma Granthi, the Vishnu Granthi, and the Shiva Granthi. You can feel these knots in an emotional way, and they have a psychological component. You can't see them like the knot in my garment here. But you can feel them emotionally. The first is the Brahma Granthi, which ties you down so that your consciousness is only in the survival mode. It means you have strong worries about maintaining yourselves, finding a partner, or strong worries when you get old. I could see this yesterday. I was making a walk, and there were two people sitting on a bench, and they said, you look so tired. I said, I don't think I'm looking tired. I'm looking old. I'm getting older now. I can't avoid the hair growing and the teeth giving the signals that, yes, we are getting old here. So if I start to worry, which I have done at other times, then I'm feeling the Brahma Granthi, the knot. Or if someone feels, oh, I'm locked down, what's with my business, how will I survive this? It is understandable that one feels like this, and I'm really sorry for the tremendous amount of anxiety which is going on. Oh, it's easy to speak about this if you don't have a business and if you don't have much money like me, but you are thrown down to the survival mode. Or if someone, this happens unfortunately, or misunderstands you and attacks you, and you become all worried about how can I defend myself, you are experiencing the knot which does bind you to the survival mode. Unfortunately, many people nowadays are just bound down to that, you call it in that reptilian part of the brain, that most ancient work which works only in the mode of surviving. You know? How can I eat? How can I defend myself? I heard a crocodile has only three ideas. Is this something to eat? Or is this someone who eats me? And then there's the third idea. Is this someone for procreation? Survival mode. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Survival mode or Brahma Granthi. The next one, the next knot ties you down when you have a need for power, for recognition, and various emotional attachments. For instance, if you identify yourself with your spouse and your children, and you begin to feel their happiness and their distress as your own, it means you're really bound down to with the second knot. And the third knot, called Shiva Granti, is whenever you feel proud of your intellect, your knowledge, your so-called superiority. Even in spiritual life, this can happen. Oh, I know better, I'm more informed, I'm more advanced, and so on. This type of pride is a third knot which binds us down. All this is summed up in the not as the Hridaya Granti in the Bhagavatam, the knot in the heart which binds you down. Now, when you start your spiritual practice, this knot in the heart becomes also activated, and it tries to keep you at the place where you are, in the consciousness where you are. And you are not really at that time able to absorb yourself. You're not able to go to another place than where you are already by your own nature and character and your conditioning. When you sit down to chant, your whole life sits down with you. And if you do not practice consciously to exit this, to place your attention from what occupies your mind normally to the holy name, the Vastu Shakti, the inherent potency of the holy name, will not work for you. At least not fully. I'm the son of a person who, how do you call this? My father is one of the directors of the railway, and I have discovered, now where I'm older, the happiness of traveling in a railway. You get a nice table, there's a quiet zone, and you can read, you can hear something with earphones, you can eat also, you can walk if you want, you can visit the restroom, you can do many things, even you can get out of the quiet zone, make a telephone conversation, there's internet in these modern trains. It's very nice. And I know one thing. The train is very nice, but I have to get into it. If I'm missing my train, if I don't step into the train, the Vastu Shakti, the inherent potencies of the train, cannot work, and it cannot take me away to my destination. So chanting with absorption, where your mind uses this endowment of the mind, that the mind can, by its natural characteristic, absorb itself into something, that has to be practiced. Mantra means that which frees the mind from troubling occupations or troubling absorption. There's such a Sanskrit definition available. I have it in my extended notes. The mantra is meant to help you to reabsorb yourself. Already by nature, the mind is occupied with so many things, but you can direct the absorption to another quarter. Get into the train of the mantra, to speak in my example, or experience the Vastu Shakti of the mantra, the inherent potency. as you are learning to absorb yourself more. So I have now a little time to ask, to answer some questions. I would like to request you to type your questions or comments. My assistant then will bring you the questions, will bring me the questions, and then I will answer. So please be so kind to type them now, and they will be brought to me. Before I start, I want to... This is really good. I want to acknowledge a few devotees who participate in here, in this program. I want to thank them also. It gives me great pleasure to know that you are there, Anutama. You know you are a man of the first hour. You and Rukmini, your good wife, who's also there. You both have been in the first Holy Name retreat I gave in Washington, D.C. I still remember it. Your hair was not as gray, nor was mine. And Rukmini, I remember the, your sincerity also, your questions, and doing the practical applications. I mean, when we did our workshops, how deep you went. Then I want to acknowledge our Brahma Theatre Prabhu, the person with whom I think there is such good discussions possible, such in so multi. Your knowledge is so expensive. You know everything, including the language of dolphins. Then there is our Malati. It gives me great honor to how do you say, to envision you, Malati. I do remember how, when I was just a newcomer, you were in the London temple, and you were already managing and doing many things in the temple. And you once overheard me talking about Krishna consciousness to a newcomer. You must have been in the same room. I did not notice you at that time because I was only with a newcomer. And then you came afterwards and you encouraged me. And I thought, wow, the senior devotee encourages me. Maybe I should make this into my main seva, my main service. There is Kamalini, and there's Jayashree also. These were the names which were given to me. So I thank you very much, and I do hope that I can really guide you into an experience which will happen when we soon will start our workshops. I see now one assistant is coming with the questions. Yes, thank you very much. So the first question I see is how to improve absorption. To give a brief answer now is, I would like to ask everyone, have you ever seen an absorbed person? He may write something. It happens often in me, my life. I'm writing at the moment. I've finished one book called Magical Minutes. I will not tell you what it is about. It's really magical. And then Gokrishna comes and says, you're now eating our lunch, Prasadam Maharaj. And I don't react, he told me once. Then he comes another time, waits a little. He's polite British citizen, and he will again say, Maharaj, eating. And I still don't react because I'm absorbed with my magical minutes, my writing. And then he again has to come. So what happens to the person who is absorbed? Well, first of all, his mind is absolutely there. Then his body is there. And if he is absorbed in a positive way, his heart is also there. So, and what we will learn in the workshop is how to align or bring into focus your mind, your body, and your heart. And then you will also feel the switch, and maybe the person who is living with you and is saying, something to eat now, you won't even hear him. Mm. So this is question one. I have now enough questions to answer in this brief session because I want to make a pause very soon. There will be a later possibility to answer questions. So here comes second question. I feel I have more taste for Kirtan than Japa. Maybe I do not have taste for holy name, but for music. Would you recommend that I replace kirtans with more japa to develop more taste? Yes. Thank you for the questions, but I can't answer now more than what is already here. So thank you for your participation. Please keep the questions which you still have at this stage for later. We do a second question and answer session. Would you recommend that I replace kirtans with more japa to develop taste? No, I won't recommend that. Kirtan is the most efficient way of engaging with the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as the Yuga Avatar, the avatar who came specifically for this time, and he spread the holy name through singing. He had very, very electric kirtans. Rama Govinda Vanamali, and of course the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Many, many Naam Kirtans. And he would have large assemblies and chant with his devotees. This is really the process for Kali Yuga for this time. Now, why do we also put so much emphasis on japa? The reason is, when you do japa, you're all by yourself. There is no one around you from whose energy you profit in a way. Maybe you chant with other persons who do japa. But more than kirtan, you will have to now focus on your relationship to Krishna. Japa is really a relational workout. You really have to get in contact with Krishna. And if you have learned that, then it will be much, much, much more efficient when you do kirtan. So I would say japa is really necessary to do good kirtan. But in japa you have to know, really it's so important, you have to connect your consciousness with the name entirely. There's no music around which helps you, no instruments, no dancing, unless you're an ecstatic person who dances during japa. There is only the name. And that's good. We have to learn, or we have to wake up to the fact there is only God, only Him, and my relationship. This is what matters now. And as you become aware, and we will give some very good exercises, they will come in a moment, and I will also give you many things at the end of these 2 hours, which can help you to go deeper at home. If you do all this, my dear participants, I can guarantee you the doors to a wonderful experience with Krishna will open, but you will have to absorb it. And that's what you learn during japa. By the way, this more taste in kirtan is normal. You are not alone in this. Don't think there's anything wrong. It's just that that's good that you feel taste for kirtan. It's now you have to go to the next level in your life. Now another question. Most of the time we chant 7 rounds before we start focusing the mind to be attentive. In the beginning it's not absorbed. It feels more like a duty. Is this normal? While the number of rounds may differ from person to person, it is unfortunately normal that during the chanting your mind begins to really click in and switch in. But there could be another normal function also, that your mind switches off when you chant more rounds. 2 things are normal, that it focuses and that it switches off. Wow, now you might think, well, what do we do with such an answer? Here comes some advices which have helped devotees and which devotees have told me. First of all, when you sit down, you need to, for chanting japa, you need to tell yourself, I'm now giving time to my japa. If you just do it on automatic pilot, oh yes, now I have to chant. Okay, and what is about the shopping list today? And my God, I have an old email which is already maybe more than 1 week old, and it's so important for me to answer this email. And so many things come as a chatter of the mind to you. It's very easy to stop it. Sit down, take a pen when it's an important thing, and note down, okay, shopping list, okay, old email, what else? Oh, I'm getting too fat. I need to make some exercise. Good exercise. It's now all on the paper. Your mind is free. Put it to the side. Deal with it later. The second is an advice which Haridas Thakur gives. This is a luminary. He says, on my own, it's not possible to focus my restless mind. Such victory over the mind is only possible by your kripa, your mercy. Therefore, it behooves me, it is important for me to beg you for your mercy. There are prayers to do before you chant. Srila Prabhupada mentions 3 prayers. One is from the Namastakam, one from the Bhagavatam. You can find them in the Living Name book if you are. There's unfortunately no glossary, but you can just leaf through them. Or you can do what I like to do, is I always have the prayers on Sharanagati with me, because there is a statement, Krishna hears the prayers of the person who practices the sixfold path of surrender. It's Sharanagati. So the chanting is a prayer. So I pray these Sharanagati prayers regularly in my own private japa session. Pray to Krishna that please accept me. Please accept me. And find new words which are there in the prayer book Sharanagati. Sometimes we need to find new words to express the same thing. Then it gets a deeper expression. We come to a deeper expression. And the Sharanagati prayers do help like this very, very much. There are other things which you can do. And in the workshop, we will give other suggestions. And I will give you a beautiful handout, really nicely designed. It's really from our tradition, 7 points that help you to focus the mind. So here's another question, and this will be the last question. While chanting, I think about my current worries. You're not the only one. While chanting, I think about my current worries and find and how to find solution to my problems. That is very tempting. I get succumbed and my Hridaya Granthi becomes tighter. What should I do? Whoever you are, I know these worries also. Although no one thinks Sachinandan Swami worries about anything, because he seems to always smile, I do have my share of worries also. And I distinguish two types of worries. One are the worries which are overwhelming, and the second are the worries which come because of staying in the material world, which is Kuntaloka, a place of anxieties. You know, this second type of worries may not need to be dealt with immediately. It just comes out of a mental sphere of anxiety, general anxiety, which is described to be that is described as one thing which is the mental condition of all of us. There is a mind, or let us say a circuit in the mind, a pathway in the mind, if you like a new scientific word, a neural pathway, which has been ingrained in you. It's a habitual thinking, and so this pathway has a lot of worries always. They always come. We are, especially people in America, I found out, they are so anxious somehow. You can't solve all of this. This is something you need to exit, like a horror cabinet. a horror chamber, a dark room, and you can do this very easy if you create something new by reading in the scriptures, absorbing yourself in the scriptures. When I chant, I by now, these constant anxieties, like, is my suitcase too heavy? Will it not come on the plane? Or, this tooth situation, filling fall out? These normal kinds of mental naggings, I just don't feel them during chanting, because I have said to myself, I am now with Krishna. This is my time with Krishna. Keep please outside of the door. And I'm reading prayers to Krishna. Sometimes I interrupt my chanting and read about Krishna himself from the relevant scriptures. And then I come to this. Now, if this is an overwhelming anxiety, which is really a very, very tough one, I can only say, speak with good-hearted devotees, friends on the phone. Analyze what is going on. Maybe it's just in you. It is said, coward? Dies 100 deaths, whereas a person who has no anxieties dies only one death. So a person with these anxieties dies 100 deaths, and so on. So when it's the small anxieties, that's my point. I'm losing my point here. If it's a small anxiety, then habitual anxieties, park it. When it is something which is really serious and has that overwhelming quality, you need to take shelter where you can find shelter. Shelter in good friends, in good devotee friends, and talk with them. And if they can't help you totally, 100%, turn to that one person who can for sure help you. It is Krishna. I've just read in Prabhupada's commentary to the Dhruva Maharaj story that Suniti tells to Dhruva, Dhruva, I unfortunately cannot help you with your problem. Your father has rejected you because he's more attached to his second wife, and therefore his son. I can't help this. There's only one person who can help you, that is Krishna. And he takes more care of you than millions of mothers. Maybe I should supply you with a quote. Yes, I will do this. I will supply you with a quote. I want to now make a pause for all of you. So, during this pause, we will now have a 5-minute pause. Let's make 6 minutes pause. My assistant Gokrishna will sing, and I will need to put my microphone onto his. I think your garment is called a hoodie. So he's taking it already. Thank you. And then after 6 minutes, please, those who don't need to do anything, you can sing with Gokrishna. And those who need to do something, they can now do it, and we meet in 6 minutes from now. Thank you very much. It's a great joy to know that there's someone there. And I have many, many, many more questions here. Well, it's not so many, but it's at least 6 or 7. So I will take care of the questions. But now let us make a pause. Hari Bol. Six minutes.
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Jaya Gauranita Jaya Radha Vrindavan Chanda Radha Vrindavan Chanda Sri Radhe. So, please just bear with me for a second. I'm going to fix this microphone. Thank you for singing so nice, Guru Krishna. Really, I greatly appreciate your absorbed chanting, really. No, I really feel blessed to have an assistant like Guru Krishna. He's born in from devotee parents and has a beautiful heart and a beautiful voice. We will now go into the practice part. I have written down for me, talk less, practice more. What we have done is, we have compiled for the retreat in New Vrindavan a seven-step guide for absorbed japa and ecstatic kirtan. These seven steps come from a verse which is quoted in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's like a rule book for practice in Krishna consciousness. And I have filled it, please excuse me, I filled it up a little bit so that you have something really practical to practice from. These are seven steps: resolve to improve your chanting, absorb yourself, practice internal and external purity, practice silence in the sense of not filling that empty space inside with mundane talk and mundane thoughts, practice on the meaning, and develop patience and eagerness. You will find how to do this in the seven-step guide, which we will post on this Facebook or web page. I'm not so good in remembering the technical details, but this place where we are now associating with each other. These are traditional rules. No need to note them down now from memory. You will get it nicely laid out, and the verse will be there, and it will be a guide to you. I think we all are in some ways affected by the lockdown and the restrictions which come in order to avoid the further spread of the coronavirus. And what we will experience is that we don't do the same things as we used to do before. We don't travel so much. I have canceled many, many lecture engagements. I mean, many. The airlines have told me, we don't know how much we will be able to reimburse you because there will be a different financial situation when everything turns to normalcy. So travel is restricted. Going out is restricted. I don't know how much you are restricted in your towns, and I think it will vary from place to place. With all this, a space opens, an empty space. Now, if we don't take care to fill it with the things which we need to, which we feel are good for us, the material energy will fill it with other things. There are no vacuums where there is nothing in this world. There always something comes in, something tamasic or rajasic, or something spiritual. And it's very, very important that you learn to fill the space which is created with spiritual things which uplift you. Otherwise, you will just become influenced in certain degrees by the modes. You will feel restless, that's rajagun. You will be sad, maybe, that you cannot do the things you wanted to do, that's more tamagun. Not always, but it could happen. Tamagun comes in this disguise to you. Sometimes sadness is also a form of longing, really, and that's good. My point is, why don't we learn now to fill the space which has been created with Krishna? We primarily fill the place with Krishna through devotional services, and the most effective in Kali Yuga, the most effective bhakti practice is Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing the holy name, chanting the holy name. But of course, I really feel during this time the Bhagavatam should also be invited into this space, or discussions about Krishna. Use the space wisely. In this workshop, which we really have to now focus on, we will have to address inattention and how we can cure it by means of absorption. I would like to give you one practice you can do with the physical body. I would like to give you one practice which you can do with the mind, and one for the heart. Let's start with the body. When chanting japa and also kirtan, it is described that we should take on a comfortable posture where we can be steady. In the beginning, there might be some various amounts of pain in the body, but they will disappear if you practice a relaxed sitting posture. Very important. Those who have to press themselves into or push themselves into an asana and feel discomfort so that they can't relax, will not do themselves any favor, both on the physical and also on the inner means mental and focus level, no? So you need therefore to sit down in a relaxed and position in which you can be steady. And every one of you out there, please do this. Find yourself a chair if you are from the older generations with shortened hamstrings or a good cushion which can bring you a little bit above the ground so that your, the English word is coccyx, I understand, is slightly elevated, and then bring your legs down and be in a relaxed position. I'm sitting like this already for 1.5 hours, and no problem, I can sit for 10 more hours because, yes, I have practiced this a little. So then sit straight and as you sit steady and comfortably, something will happen in your nervous system. You will feel vastness, but only if you allow your mind to calm down. Very important. But the sitting posture will really help you to come to a space which you can fill with the divine mantra. My dear devotees, sorry, I looked somewhere else. My dear devotees, my dear friends, the main point of japa and kirtan is that you bind or fasten your restless mind, which wanders all over, to the sound of the mantra. The Chandogya Upanishad gives us a beautiful example. It speaks of a falcon in training. You bind that falcon on its perch, maybe a stick of wood, to a rope. Now in the beginning, the falcon will fly restlessly all over the place, but then it will sit down to the on the very place where it is fastened to. So in the same way, as you begin to chant, and if you have not prepared your mind to do this, the mind will go all over like a restless falcon, flutter and squeak, quack, quack. That's not how the falcon makes it. Oh, that's how he makes. Oh, like this. It will fly and sound its mental sound, wander here and there. But if you have managed to fasten your mind to the mantra, it will sit with the mantra. It will rest in the mantra. It will be enveloped in the mantra. It will be carried by the mantra. It will be moved by the inherent shakti of the mantra. And it will come to its natural state. The mind will come to its natural state, which is sattvic. Yes. Original state of the mind is that it is luminous, that it is calm, and that it is filled with a natural wisdom. So let's do now a practice. I request you to sit down properly. Use your body to find a relaxed, a comfortable and a steady posture. You shouldn't, the American word is fidget, I believe, you know, steady, steady. Roll back your shoulders. You can bring your shoulders to the ears, and then bring them back. That will open your chest. It's good for breathing and for feeling that, what I said in the beginning, vastness. And now, let us practice how the mind will become fastened to the mantra. The mind is fastened by with so many knots, as we discussed earlier, to worldly things, but now we will fasten it to the mantra, just like the falcon gets fastened to its perch, it sits. You please now take a few deep breaths, and you resolve in your mind that you will now chant the sacred mantra. Your body is in full cooperation to this project. You will vibrate the mantra with your tongue or pronounce it, and you will just listen to it with your ears. Your attention is withdrawn to only pronouncing the mantra and to listening. And whenever your mind flies away, like the falcon in training, there's a rope to which it is tied. Bring it, that's your attention, bring it back to the mantra by using the attention. Whenever you notice the mind is wandering, pull it back by that same noticing, that same awareness, and let it be with the mantra. We will all chant in one voice now. I will chant another mantra. Those who know it, please say it with me. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. More participation. Some of you are doing other things. Please, this is important now. I can see you through my internal eyes. Sit down. And now again, let's be a little bit deeper in our sound. Again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continue, please. Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, continue. I will say now something, but please continue. My dear devotees, as you chant, bring your mind now to the divine sacred sound of the mantra which you are making. Place it there. Rest it there. Stay there. Allow yourself to be carried by the sound of the mantra. allow yourself to become more peaceful. Let the inherent Shakti, the Vastu Shakti, work. Continue. I do not know where you are now, so you have to continue on your own. But maybe to make it easier, we will now do 3 mantras together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. If you want to make a note in your notebook, write down falcon fastened to its perch, mind fastened to the mantra. This simple image from the Upanishads will help you so much to bring your mind back. What is the use of a fluttering mind? Oh, inconsequential thoughts. You are sitting there, it's going, it will not do anything. Bring it to the mantra and let it experience the Vastu Shakti. This is easiest if you practice with your body posture, steady and comfortable, and just sit straight. I will now come to the mind. Isn't the mind a very, very powerful entity? How powerful is the mind? The mind is. Look around for a moment and take in your environment. You might see your room for the first time and the need to put some order in it. If it's orderly, you might see pictures and so on. And after you've looked around, close your eyes and try to remember your room. Maybe you see the pictures now, which are on the wall. Maybe you see the mess now, which was there. It's all stored in the mind. You can open your eyes. The mind is working better than any mobile telephone, which can have memories, stored information. Everything, my dear people, is stored in the mind. Memories not just of your room when you close your eyes, memories of your life. Memories even of a previous life, all that gets captured by our wonderful mind. And it gets hold there. Mostly it's mundane expressions. But, my dear people, you can train your mind and to hold spiritual impressions. There's a very interesting research done on chambermaids. These are people, the girls in the hotel who clean after the guests have gone. There was a scientist who did a research with mainly Puerto Rican chambermaids who came from their country, served in New York, and ate and did all the things which normal low-income Puerto Rican people do. Oh, now I have to be very careful in what I say, extremely careful. Anyways, these chambermaids were all, they were asked and they were said, we are, after our work is done, we are so exhausted. We just sit on the couch, we eat a lot of things and we see TV. Then the scientist got a sports doctor, doctor of sport, who investigated the activities of the chambermaids and found out this work with the chambermaids make, cleaning, vacuum cleaning and so on, is a fantastic workout, and they burn so and so many calories by doing this for 6 hours or whatever the hours are. Then he divided the chambermaids in two groups. He had 50 in group A and 50 in group B, and he told the chambermaids in group A, this is a fantastic workout. Your work is actually a workout, and you will lose extra kilos and you will develop good muscles which will hold your spine. There will be no back pain. You do such a wonderful workout. Group B, he didn't tell anything. Now, after only 3 weeks, group A was investigated on, and they had all lost extra kilos. They looked very positive in life. They looked like people who have a good exercise each day. And they were very, very happy with this. Group B, which was not informed, nothing happened. What does this show us? It shows us the tremendous potency of the mind. And if you can really learn to associate with your mind, with Krishna, in the form of the holy name, you will be blissful. You will be not afraid of your own death even. And you will be full of inherent wisdom which comes. Yes, you will learn to actually become free from anxieties and disturbances. But a mind must be connected with what you do. If you are an unconscious chambermaid chanter, then nothing will happen to you, or not much. Something will happen to you also, something little. But if you are a conscious chanter, who is focused with Krishna, that will be very, very, very good. We have 10 minutes left, I hear, and I can only do now one exercise with you on the mind, which I think should work miracles. While it is not possible for the normal person to regulate his mental traffic or the thoughts which come and go, there is an easy access to the mind. Most of us find it difficult to access our mind and tell our mind, do this or think this now, because we lack the access tool. But the easiest access tool, which purifies the mind and makes it calm, is the breath. In the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes in the purport, just like fire purifies gold, breath purifies the mind. So, in this exercise, I request you now to simply breathe. Take a deep inhale. And now exhale. In. Out. Keep on breathing. Now, whenever you breathe out, say Gaur, and whenever you breathe in, say mentally, Ra. Bind your mind to the breath or the divine syllables. Do this now as we chant together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Continue, please. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Now bring your mind when it comes to the first Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. The first Hare now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Focus now on the very first Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear participants, I have to ask for your forgiveness. I had a note, more practice, less talk. But because I'm doing this for the first time with an audience that I do not see, nor do I mean, I can feel you a little bit based on my experience with previous retreats and so on. But I'm not a clairvoyant, at least not in great detail. So therefore, I can only refer to you to two excellent helps which I have prepared, really, and you will get a lot out of it. Now, I have now so many nice questions, and I should at least pick one of them. It is said, oh, sorry, but what to do? And if I go too much over time, no one will invite me for internet conferences, so I need to be on time. It is said while chanting the name and the form will manifest, and the qualities and lila. On what stage does this happen? My dear devotees, the initial appearance of Krishna's form, the initial appearance of Krishna's qualities, the initial experience of Krishna's lila can happen tomorrow for all of us. What I mean to say is, fill your inner space, your inner vacuum, which has, by the way, a God-shaped form, fill that with Bhagavatam, where you read about Krishna, his qualities, and his form, and his lilas. And then, as you chant his name, by the power of association, I'm using this term in its psychological meaning. I will explain in a second. All these things will be drawn into your mind. Association is a simple work which our mind does. We hear something like pizza, boom, and we see a pizza. We hear something like, oh, depressing rain, clouded, foggy day, and boom, something comes, and we feel it. Even. We hear something like a tantalizing lemon juice. We associate the taste, and we might even develop some saliva. Haribol. This is called the power of association. It's one of the many powers of the mind. Of course, only a pure mind can remember the Purno Shuddha, the all pure Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only a faithful mind can be full with Krishna. Only a surrendered mind can realize Krishna. But the initial appearance of Krishna's form and qualities and pastimes can happen even to a beginner by the power of association. However, this power will only be activated if you hear a lot about Krishna. Someone who doesn't eat a lot of pizza, if I say pizza to him, what's that? He has no association with it. But someone who has engaged a lot with pizza, oh, just the pea in the beginning, and he will remember an Italian pizza with cheese, ahimsa cheese, and capperis, and olives, and a piece of ananas here and there. That will come. So you must hear more about Krishna. You must read more about Krishna if you want, and then your mind will associate with Krishna like anything. It will happen very easy. Now, when your mind gets more purified, more surrendered, more free from all doubts, you will associate more and more with Krishna. My dear devotees, so many more good questions. Maybe I should put the questions. Anyways, there are so many creative ideas and they never get done. For now, I want to say, very important. First of all, you will get the 7-step guide on your on the same web page on which you were now taking part in this program. Please, it's free. You can print it out. You can put it on your mobile telephone. It will help you significantly. Second of all, I would like to say that I have done many meditations on the living name. Now let's relax a little bit. I've done a lot of meditations which are available on SoundCloud. Some of you, I think, have heard this when you visited my Facebook page. They were there, but now they are gone from there because so many other things come there. But it is available and stored in the SoundCloud. We will put a link to the SoundCloud on this web page or this forum, and you can then link up with it or link it down or load it down or whatever it is, and in this way really have a very good assistance to go deep. It's so nicely recorded. It has some little words of wisdom. It's 1 minute, 2 minutes, and then it has good practice. I would not say it. I would not advertise myself. No cultured man will advertise himself. But I heard so much overwhelming feedback that I highly recommend it. It's really guided japa sessions are in there. Guided on the basis of tradition, of Prabhupada and so on. It's really very effective, I would say. Well, that sounds like bragging. That I cannot say. See for yourself. So then there is another and last information I have to say. Now, this broadcast was coming about by the kind arrangement of our Anuradha. I hope you're there, Anuradha, that I can greet you like this. And Jai Krishna, who have arranged these wonderful living name these living name retreats in the past, but this is an exception. If you wish to stay in contact with me, I will be visible on my Facebook. It is facebook.com/Sachinandan Swami. We will also send this link there so that you know where to find me. There are often things about the holy name and so on. What else do I know? And even that I'm just learning. Yes, learning. And it's so exciting to learn more. So, if you want to stay in connection, please come to the Facebook page, and there will be, for instance, Gora Meditation live broadcast. videos, articles, living name experience, etc., etc. This is from the announcement, everything, but just one last thing. I thank you very, very much. From the numbers of questions I could see, you were a wonderful audience. Really, it was and is a great honor for me to try to serve you like this. If I sometimes sound as if I, you know, forcefully proclaim, do this and that, and I may sound a little over the board, I'm doing this only to move you on. Please forgive me if I have said something too forcefully, too German-like. That is just I'm trying to move my audience with these presentations. I wish you a wonderful time. Remember, this is a good situation because a space is created, but please take care that the space is not invaded by material things. Fortify yourself and bring a lot of Harinam in there. Listen to online kirtans, sing along, dance along, and make the holy name your life's companion. He will never ever disappoint you. All the best. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada.